My friends, in Jesus and Mary, virginity is a sign of consecration to God. Virginity is not the negation of sexuality, it's quite the opposite. It's saying that I so respect the gift of body given to me by God the Father that I give it back to Him directly through Jesus Christ, the one mediator. Hello and welcome to MaryCast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we are discussing the dogma of the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. My friends, today in our present era where there's a lot of sexuality confusion, some could wrongly assume that to see virginity as something noble means you have to see sexuality with a negativity. It's the farthest from the truth. A virgin who gives her life to God, whether it be a male or female, of course, does such because they value sexuality and they gift wrap that gift right back and give it back to God saying, this is such a valuable gift, I want you to have this back. And that's the gift of virginity for any Christian who takes on the vows of virginity. But it's especially true of the Mother of God, the greatest disciple, the mother of all peoples, and the perfect and perpetual virgin. In our previous segments, we've talked about Mary's virginity before the birth of Christ. Then we had the honor of giving testimony to her virginity during the birth of Christ, a miraculous birth safeguarding her physical virginity. And now we talk about the third dimension of that dogma. That is that Mary was perpetually a virgin. Now, what does this mean? This means two things. It means, first of all, that Mary never had relations with Joseph. Secondly, it means Mary never had other children. So let's look at this in the sources of Revelation, and then I want to take on some of the major objections to Mary's perpetual virginity. I think you will find that there's really no substance to objecting against this truth revealed by Almighty God and declared as such by her church, by the Church of Jesus Christ. But we know we make reference to the church as she because the church is mother and virgin, and that's why Mary is the perfect model of the church as well. Now, Scripture tells us that when Mary is dialoguing with the archangel Gabriel, she says, after Gabriel says, you know, you will conceive and bear a son, she says, how will this be since I know not man? How will this be since I know not man? And in the Vulgate, it's future tense, quiet fiat astute. How will this be? That tells us that the Blessed Mother is not doubting. She's questioning the causality. How will this be? I know not man. The fathers of the church rightly understood that expression to refer to a vow of perpetual virginity. Certainly, it doesn't mean that Mary didn't know where children came from. It's a reference to a vow that she took. As one common Mariologist, Father Laurentin, expresses, it's like saying, I don't smoke. When you say I don't smoke, it means not only am I not smoking right now, but as a permanent disposition, I don't smoke. Mary's saying, I know not man. Not that she hasn't known man yet, not that she doesn't know that coming together with a man would produce a child, but that she's made a vow as a permanent disposition not to know man. And so Mary, as the perpetual virgin, is declared very early in the church and defended as early as 392 by Pope Saint Siricius in an act of what we would now call the ordinary magisterium, the papal teaching authority teaching against the error that Mary could possibly have other children. So this has been the perpetual teaching of the church regarding Mary's perpetual virginity. We have St. Jerome defending it, St. Augustine defending it, and all the way through the Middle Ages up to the present time. This was the consensus of the early church because it was apostolic truth and it was carried on as such. So let's deal with the three principal objections to Mary's perpetual virginity. And before we get into that, I want to answer the why question. Why would God have Mary as the perpetual virgin? For two great reasons. Number one, it protects the uniqueness of the Incarnation. I say only for the sake of example, imagine Mary walking into the marketplace with four kids behind her and trying to explain to the ladies in the marketplace, well, you know, this child is great, this child is very good, but actually my first child happens to be God. You see, the more children, the more it takes away from the uniqueness of the fact that God becomes man only once. God the Father has only one firstborn. Mary has only one firstborn. Secondly, again, it's her perfect discipleship. She is going to be that consecrated virgin, giving everything back to God. So within that context, let's look at the major objections. Number one, people will object based on a misunderstanding of two scripture passages. This is early in the Gospel of Matthew. This is Matthew 1:18 and Matthew 1:25. This is where the words before and till are used. And the context is that Mary and Joseph do not have relations until the day when indeed Jesus is born. Some see that statement as saying, if you say before and till, Matthew 1:18, again in Matthew 1:25, that infers it had to happen after. This is simply an error of logic. Before and till establish what has not yet taken place. For example, 1 Samuel 6:3, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children before the day of her death. The word before is used. Does that infer that she had children after she was dead? Of course not. Before simply means what has not yet taken place. And that's what's revealed in the scripture of Matthew 1:18 and 1:25. Before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Second objection is the most universal, and that's the reference of the brethren of the Lord in Scripture. In fact, Scripture talks about the names of the brethren of the Lord, James, Joseph, Jude, and Simon. And so some with more of a fundamentalist or evangelical strain would say, well, obviously it's explicitly spelled out there, so she had to have other children. That would be incorrect for several reasons. Number one, the word used is adelphos. That in Greek means brother, cousin, near relative, or even kinsman. People from your hometown could be called adelphos. It is in no sense exclusive to blood brothers. That's why when the same word in Hebrew, ach, which is used in the Old Testament, also in context makes reference very clearly that you're not talking about strict blood brothers. For example, the relationship between Jacob and Laban is made reference of ach or adelphos. No, strict blood brothers is not what's revealed in this passage, but adelphos, brothers, cousins, near relatives. We use this expression in the Christian faith all the time. My brothers and sisters in the Lord. So it would not be accurate and it would be against revelation to say that it was a reference, a revelation of blood brotherhood to Jesus Christ. Third objection is that Joseph and Mary were not truly married if indeed they didn't have conjugal relations. This would be a mistaken understanding of the sacrament of matrimony and even canon law. The sacrament of matrimony is where a man and a woman give themselves unconditionally in Christ for life, death do us part. The gift of body is an expression of that gift of heart, but it's not the substance. Some may say quickly, well, what about the idea of an annulment where the marriage hasn't been consummated? That's only because the bodily gift could show that there's not an interior gift. No, no, Mary was a perpetual virgin. The brethren of the Lord were not the blood relatives. The Blessed Virgin was the perfect model. We have the security of the Apostolic Church, the early church, the medieval church, the contemporary church, and the papal magisterium from the 4th century onward, which guarantees this. This is part of the honor of the Virgin. So let's you and me accept this honor. Let's pay her proper tribute because she was virginal before, during, and after the birth of Christ, as a model for us of perfect consecration to Jesus Christ. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli at MaryCast. Thanks for being with us. God bless you.